The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Tuesday afternoon. Gorgeous day, man. Beautiful outside. 80 degrees this weekend for Mother's Day. That sun starts cooking. That coronavirus melting it. Yeah, we'll see. All right. Yesterday's show is very interesting because it's very clear, and you just heard it in Heather's newscast. She played a clip from that group Reopen Washington that said the toll of shutting down our economy is much greater than the toll of coronavirus. And I certainly have come to believe that. I also understand, especially after yesterday's show, I understand that that's not a very politically correct thing to even introduce it into the conversation. To suggest that we need to think about all the unemployed, all of the business owners. I was corresponding with a business owner out in Monroe. They have a great Italian place, Toscano's. We went to watch our Seahawk colleague, Michael Bumpus, coaches Monroe Bearcats. Is that how they say it out there? Monroe? And we stopped, Wyman and NASA and Moyer and I stopped, got some Italian food. And, you know, we got all these businesses that are shut down. And they're hurting, they're scared, and they feel like nobody is representing them in the government right now. And what I've said all along is that I've grown increasingly skeptical. And you want some proof of why people like I, why people like I have skepticism? The Virginia governor, Blackface Northam, the good Democrat, Klan hood, blackface governor. Blackface Northam in Virginia, he this morning announced that Virginia is counting their COVID patients differently. Listen to this change.
During a COVID-19 briefing, the State Department of Health announced it will now count the number of positive virus tests instead of the number of people who test positive. That means if one person is tested three times and all three tests come back positive, it counts as three, instead of how the numbers were being counted before, which would only have been one because it was a single patient.
We realized for Virginia that change in methodology made a clear sense because we want to make sure that other number that we're reporting, because so many folks are focusing on that as we move into the phases. So as one of the important indicators.
That makes sense. That if one person tests positive three times, that will be counted as three COVID-19 patients. That doesn't make any sense at all. That's government admitting that they are cooking the books. And I had this barber up in Snohomish on the show yesterday, Bob Martin. Oh, man, was Bob a colorful fella. But he's been open in defiance of Jay Inslee's order for the last couple of weeks now. Bob is a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. He thinks that they're cooking the numbers. He also thinks Bill Gates is involved, which I don't have any proof of that. But here's government admitting that they're cooking the numbers. They're counting one person as three coronavirus cases. And so what's the motivation for all of this? Is it public health purely? I'm sure there still is some consideration of public health in all of this. But, man, what we are seeing in our region right now is absolute radical leftist politics have infiltrated almost every aspect of government and are trying to implement their worldview and using coronavirus as their lever, their tool for doing that. And that brings me to our big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Okay, so you are walking up the sidewalk. I'm walking down the sidewalk. And across the street, there's a homeless person lying on a tarp. I pull out a gun and I put it up to you and I say, give me $100. And you're shaking, you're at gunpoint, pull out your wallet. I know nobody carries cash anymore. Street stickups are probably really tough these days. Can I Venmo you? But play along with me. You pull out your wallet. You happen to have a Hunsky in there. And with a trembling hand, you hand it over to me. And I say, oh, I'm not robbing you. I'm going to give it to that homeless guy across the street. I'm being a good Samaritan. Would you feel like I was actually a good Samaritan? Or would you feel like I was just a common street criminal? Because our government right now, they're common street criminals. I'm going to talk on behalf of all the landlords in our state, and particularly in Seattle. As you know, there is nothing more essential to a free people than private property rights. Nothing. Without private property rights, you cannot have freedom. And our government has stolen the property of tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of landlords throughout the state. And the city of Seattle is going to make it even worse. But now there is pressure for the entire state to do what Seattle is doing. And that's because they have, a couple of months ago, they announced a eviction ban. So you're a landlord and you got a renter who, for whatever reason, isn't paying their rent. And they said, well, because of coronavirus, we are going to ban evictions for the next 3 months, till June 4th. And so what's the incentive for anybody to pay rent right now in Washington? And it's even worse in the city of Seattle. The city council yesterday, by a 9-0 vote, moved forward to extend the eviction ban for 6 months after the coronavirus moratorium expires. So basically, till the end of the year, if you are a landlord with deadbeat tenants, you cannot evict them. Now, maybe they're not paying because they're out of work because of coronavirus, roughly 15% of our region. Maybe I think it's closer to 20% by now. Those people should be helped. They lost their jobs, their gigs because of government mandate that shut down businesses. So what would a truly benevolent government do versus a street criminal with a gun? A benevolent government would say, hey, we got to help out those renters. We have to, and we're going to have to make some tough decisions here, but let's cut our budget by however much they need, $100 million, $200 million. Let's cut our budget on things that are not essential, and there's lots of non-essential stuff in government. I mean, heck, government has told almost all of us we are non-essential, right? But in government, there's even more non-essentiality. But they're not making any cuts. They don't have any unemployment among government workers. So a benevolent, good Samaritan government would say, okay, we're going to make some tough decisions. We're going to cut our budget here, and then we'll have a pot of money, and we will help out the renters who are truly needed. In other words, if they have truly lost their job because of coronavirus, then we will help them with a rent subsidy. That's what a good Samaritan does. What a street criminal does is they point a gun at your head and say, hey, you, give that person your money. And that's where our government is right now. And I'm absolutely convinced these rent moratoriums are unconstitutional because it is a government taking of private property. But we've got an awful lot of politicians who have no problem with that. And again, they are using coronavirus for their means, their ends, or their means to their end. But that's not benevolence by government, because now, so you're helping the renter and you're killing the landlord. That landlord probably still has a mortgage to pay. And so if Seattle, I mean, it's been 3 months already, they're going to extend it another six. That's 9 months. Let's say you've got a little rental house and your monthly mortgage is $2,500 a month and you rent it out for $2,600 a month. And you hope the appreciation eventually will give you a nice little nest egg when that mortgage is paid off. Okay, so now you still got to pay the $2,500 a month mortgage as a landlord. But 9 times 2,500. Now we're starting to talk about some real money here, aren't we? What's that, $22,500? That you've stolen with a gun to the head. And I mean that literally. Because these renters, I mean these landlords, if they don't follow the law, cops with guns come out and tell them, hey, give that tenant your money. We're the benevolent government. It's so wrong. It's so absolutely wrong to steal private property from people. And again, this is the socialist Marxist dream. Nobody has private property under Marxism. Government controls everything, doles it out as they see fit. Government picks the winners and losers. That's what government's doing now. They're picking the winners and losers in our society. But they're stealing. And nobody's raising a stink about it. Except for well old me. Once again, the lone voice in the wilderness. Because everybody wants to portray this as, oh, they're so good. They're helping out the unfortunate. Yeah, government wants to help the unfortunate. You make a cut in some of your nonsense programs and spending and take that money and you help the unfortunate. But no, they're going to stick a gun to the heads of tens of thousands of landlords. And I'll give you another example of how this is just tearing apart our region for years and years to come if this is all left unchecked. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
An appeals court has just ruled that Seattle cannot tow the vehicles that people are living in under some 1800s Homestead Act. They now are pretending that somebody living in a car is the same as a real estate property owner back in the 1800s. And so this is likely going to go to the Supreme Court. But if this stands, then, because this is a state appeals court, then statewide, no city, no county, no entity would be allowed to tow the vehicles. And you want to see an explosion in litter of vehicles and humanity everywhere? You know those tent encampments that sprung up in Ballard? Imagine if those are undrivable cars, but they got a little roof, and so they can sleep in them. And once again, for the people who just want to protect their neighborhood, and in Ballard, they were seeing crime and drug use just skyrocketing in their neighborhoods. And so once again, the taxpaying, law-abiding citizens, because of government's benevolent vision, they are dealing with a nightmare. And by the way, this could spread statewide now. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, coming up right after the news, somebody you all know is going to make an announcement that I'll be gender specific, that he is running for political office. Who that is? Right after the news here on the Dory Monson Show. All right, we have a major political announcement for you in a Dory Monson Show exclusive. Our friends down in Pierce County have a man they're very familiar with, but now he wants to be the top cop in Pierce County. And I believe Ed Troyer, who's been the Pierce County Sheriff's spokesman for many, many years, has a huge announcement that you decided, Ed, to make on the Dory Monson Show. I appreciate that, sir.
Well, Cairo listeners have always been good to us down here, and we wanted to start. Our team did, thought this would be a great place to start.
Okay, and so what is your announcement?
Well, two things. First off, today is my 35th anniversary. You could believe that. I was hired on Cinco de Mayo, 1985. So it's my 35th anniversary, and we thought this would be a good time to let everybody know that I'm going to start kicking off my campaign to run for the sheriff of Pierce County, because our current sheriff, Sheriff Paul Pastor, is term limited out. He's a great guy, but he's been sheriff for 19 years and he can't run again. And I'd like to step in and continue on with what we're doing in our department, to continue to keep people safe, to continue to make sure our guys are safe, and do everything I can to build this department with leadership from within.
Okay, and Paul Pastor, couple of months ago, said, and I believe it was connected to the coming stay-at-home orders and all of that, that he was going to stay on. And so that was just through the craziness of what's going on right now. But he cannot continue as sheriff. So he will not be, you are not running against your boss.
No, I'm not running against my boss, and I never would. It's just that he has 12 years in elected position, and that's the term limits, and he's done. What he was going to do was retire a little bit early, 4 or 5 months, to get the department ready for future leaders. But then COVID came and put everything into a tailspin, and he graciously decided to stay through the end of his term, as it would have been normally anyways.
Okay, got it. Okay, so why you? You said you want to continue what you're doing in Pierce County. What are you doing that's notable, and why are you the guy to continue that?
Well, if you look at my past history, I actually spent 10 years on the streets working in a patrol car. I've worked investigations. I have a past commission with the FBI, a past commission with different other federal agencies where I've been part of task force. And also, you know, I have a lot of leadership experience in law enforcement. I've been the executive director of the Crime Stoppers program for 12 years, a Washington State Gambling Commissioner for 7 years, and that's a law enforcement agency. And through nonprofits and charities, we've created a lot of good things that our guys, our deputies, and our women do down here to make sure that our public not only is safe, but we like to take care of our public. And we do that through Charlie's Dinosaur, where we have 5 detectives that do a nonprofit that help foster kids that I'm part of. We also have a program for crimes against seniors. And there's your two most vulnerable populations right there, kids and seniors. Sure. We want to continue to take care of them. We want to continue to move forward. And I want to continue to build this department. I love Tacoma, Pierce County. I've worked for this department since day one. And I love our community and our people, and I'm looking forward to 4 years of continuing to do what we do best.
Well, and I know that everybody knows you as the sheriff's spokesman, but there might be some people who don't know about your family. And I know a little bit about, you know, how you've helped out an awful lot of people just within your immediate family. But just tell people a little bit about that.
Well, one of the other organizations I'm part of is the Foster Parents Association of Washington, and I've been a foster parent doing both respite care and have adopted kids out of foster care, and they're grown now. My youngest one is 22 years old, so I have plenty of time on my hands in the past working with children and kids and watching them grow up, good and bad, because, you know, when you're in the foster parent system, you know, some kids have problems, and what we can all do together to alleviate those problems. And that's why I stay part of the Foster Parents Association of Washington, both teaching classes, working with parents, bringing foster kids clothes and toys. And that's done with a lot of our deputies and a lot of our people. A lot of our guys and girls have big hearts, and they show it every day. And that's an organization that I want to be part of. My family members and my grandkids and my kids all take part in the warehouse work and volunteering. And one of the big things I'd like to teach them is that we give, we don't take. And that's kind of their motto. And so that's something I'm really proud of, that they kind of take that mantra and move forward with it.
How many kids have you fostered over the years?
Oh, boy, that would be a lot. That would be a big number. But, you know, had legal guardianship over three, adopted three, and had a lot of other kids come and go through weekends doing respite care. So all different types of fostering. And, you know, one of the things we always used to laugh in the past was I'd tell people, you know, I'd hear something about maybe somebody find an infant or somebody abandoned in a restaurant or something. I would call home and just jokingly say, don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they would call us. And it was something that was very, and if anybody's ever thinking about doing foster parenting or care, please do, because they need foster parents. And, you know, it's very rewarding.
Okay, yeah, I know people very well who have been foster parents, and a lot of them are just angels on earth, those foster parents, because they sometimes come with a lot of baggage. I realize that. Tell you what, I got to ask you about some issues. Can you stick with me for just a couple more minutes here, Ed?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Ed Troyer, he just announced that he's running for Pierce County Sheriff. Let me take a real quick time out, and then we will continue, because I got some issues that are in the news right now that I want to find out how Ed Troyer would handle them as sheriff. We'll do that as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. All right, I am back with Pierce County Detective Ed Troyer, who has just announced exclusively on our show that he is going to run for Pierce County Sheriff. So, Ed, let me ask you about a couple issues in the news. As you know, a couple of your, not your colleagues, but a couple of sheriff around the state in Snohomish and Franklin County have said they will not honor the stay-at-home order. They would not make arrests. If you were Pierce County Sheriff right now with this stay-at-home order, how would you handle it?
Well, right now we're doing what the governor's asked, because we have a different situation here than some of those other sheriffs, because we are pretty urban. You know, we have a county of almost 1 million people, and we patrol 500,000 people. So we have some very, very dense populated areas where we don't want other people or our people to get sick. One of the things that we're pretty proud of it up to this point is we do not have a single inmate or corrections officer that has caught the COVID virus. And our numbers in Pierce County are not nearly as bad as Snow and King, and we're on the decline. So it shows that it's working. But, you know, if people are going to go out and flaunt it, that might change things. But we seem to be able to police Pierce County right now, and that's not really an issue because people are doing it themselves. We are not getting calls of people not social distancing. It's really not even on our radar as an issue. And we hope that the people just do what's best, do what's smart, and continue to do that, because we have so many other things to do enforcement-wise. Right now, crime is just taking a dramatic jump up. You know, we've let people out of prison. We've let hundreds out of the jails. And a lot of these people are people that go out and make their living on committing crime. We have property crime and theft and these type of things jumping 20-25% in the last 2 months. And that's something that we can't have happen. We can't have a revolving door on the jail when we go back to the new norm. The new norm can't be let's empty the jails. There are a lot of groups of people that want to empty the jails, and that's not what we want to do. If we can't hold people accountable and people are still going to go out and hurt people and people are going to still go out and steal continually, and we have nowhere to put them or no ramifications, then we have a bigger problem.
Yeah, well, it's look, crime is going to skyrocket, I have no doubt, because if unemployment stays anywhere near the 20-30% that's being projected, and we're talking about depression-level unemployment, and you know that crime's going to skyrocket, you ready to handle that?
Yeah, we're ready to handle that. We have room in a correctional institution, the Pierce County Jail, and that'll be up to whoever is running the council where the dollars come. We know that nothing's free. But our guys go out and do really, really good work. We have teams that take down homeless camps. And when I say homeless camps, we're talking about people that are living home free. That's different than people that are actually truly homeless. You know, we want to get people services. We want to get people drug treatment. We want to do that. But we also have groups of people that are just taking advantage of putting motorhomes and tents up and creating their own communities because they don't want to pay bills. They're not really homeless. They are doing something called home free, and they're taking other people's property. And we have teams of people that are going out and dismantling that, disrupting that. We're going to continue to do that. At the same time, when we find people that are truly homeless, we want to get them services. And we work with multiple other agencies in Pierce County to make those services available. We have the team approach, and we'll continue to do that. And if we find people that need treatment, yes, let's get them treatment. But at the same time, the third or fourth time you find the same person laying on the ground, overdosed, at what point do you pick them up and tell them, okay, that's enough. It's time for you to go get help and then make them go, whether it be through a court order or whether it be through mental health and voluntary commit them to get help so they're not just a burden on society and their family, or they end up killing themselves eventually.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Rotating them in and out isn't working.
The gun initiative, 1639, there are sheriffs around the state who have said they would not enforce that because they view it as unconstitutional. If you were sheriff and you saw something, whether it's 1639 or anything else, that you thought violated the state constitution, would you uphold the law that was passed by the citizens, or would you defend the constitution?
But we're going to defend the constitution because that's what we do. We don't choose the laws or make the laws, but what our guys will do is if something like that happens and they think that there's a violation of that, they're not going to be arrested. We're not going to go out and physically arrest people or enforce it. But if a situation occurs, they're going to write up what happened, and it'll be inside the police report. It'll go to the prosecutor for a review, just like any other thing, and then they will make the decision on charging or not charging. It's a tool in the toolbox for people that probably need it really bad. But, you know, to be honest with you, I just went and bought myself a new rifle, and I had to wait the 10-day waiting period to do all the background paperwork. It was interesting because I was armed when I went in the store to buy another gun, and I still had to wait the 10-day waiting period. Right. I could buy the ammo, and I was armed, but I had to wait the 10-day waiting period. And it really seems like there's just too much administrative paperwork, too much going on. If somebody's approved to own a weapon and buy a weapon and have carried one for 35 years, you'd think that it'd be all right for them to buy one and leave with
it.
Yeah,
I got
but
you.
But no.
Do you have the infrastructure for a campaign already put together?
Well, that's interesting because I'm not a politician. And I've never run for an office before. And so it's going to be a challenge in that, you know, we can't do social grouping, so I'm not going to be able to have any type of kickoff party or fundraiser. So we're going straight right now with mostly social media. And social media is something that, you know, I'm aware of Facebook, but there's so much more to social media now. So I've had to recruit some help to help me with my social media platform. Well, it's my campaign manager on my social media side is going to be my 10-year-old granddaughter, Bella. She knows how to run TikTok and do it and Instagram and these things, and she knows how to make them work. And I've talked to other adults my age who just get this blank stare when I talk about these things. So I'm just going to go right to the source that I know where it works, and I'm going to put her to work working for me.
Is Bella by any chance with you right now?
Yeah. She's part of my campaign, so she's going to listen
to
everything
her?
I do and help. Yeah,
can
sure. Hang on. Bella.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk to Bella.
Hang on.
Ed Troyer's campaign.
Hello.
Hey. Bella, how are you? You scared me.
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, so you think Grandpa Ed should be a sheriff down there?
Yeah, he's the best. I think he definitely should.
How are you going to run his social media campaign?
Well, I'm just going to run his Instagram, and then we're working on a Tiger King dance on TikTok, and we're just going to... we're going to try to see some TikTok dances and post on Instagram.
Well, what's the Tiger King dance for TikTok?
Well, technically, it's just so there's like a TikTok dance, but they took out the original lyrics and they replaced them with Tiger King lyrics, which is like really funny.
Right.
And so that's what the dance that I'm teaching him.
So Grandpa Ed's going to be dancing on TikTok because you're going to order him. You can tell him what to do on social media, right?
Yep. That's exactly right.
Well, that's great. And he's a pretty good grandpa too, huh?
Yeah, he's a wonderful grandpa.
That is awesome. Well, Bella, I'm going to follow you guys on social, and I'm going to see what kind of creative stuff you come up with, okay?
Yeah, totally do that.
Oh, I totally will. All right, Bella, it's nice talking with you. You're a very sweet young woman.
Nice talking to you, too. Thank
okay,
you.
Put Grandpa Ed back on, please.
Oh, boy, looks like I'm learning that dance. Yeah, she's right, I am. That was going to be another secret. I was going to keep that kind of out of the bag now until I saw it, but I'm going to have to follow through.
What a little charmer she is. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. Oh, yep, my goodness. She is. That's why I'm putting her to work.
Yeah. All right.
Intros and exits and everything.
Ed Troyer has just announced he is going to run for Pierce County Sheriff, and Bella is going to be leading the way. Ed, I got to ask you the question that I asked the King County Sheriff when she was running.
Sure.
Anything that comes up, no matter how challenging, how embarrassing, will you come on my show and answer any tough questions?
Absolutely. I would come on your show. I've been coming on your show answering tough questions in the past, you know, about our department, about what's going on, good or bad. And one of the things that's happened over the years, and this is really goes out to your listeners, is that over the years, I've been to many police funerals, and 12 of them I've either have emceed the police funeral, done the production, or handled the media. So I've been really deeply involved in 12 police funerals, and they've all been really bad times and manhunts and all that. And no matter what happens, I'm on the air, and the time I don't come on the air, no matter what happens to me or about me or our guys, will be the time that I'm going to tell everybody to vote me out.
Okay, got it. All right, Ed, I really appreciate you making the announcement on my show.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And please tell Bella that I send my very best to her. She's a sweetie.
I will.
Ed Troyer just announced he is going to run for Pierce County Sheriff. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973, and we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.